First of all, the first precept, abstention from harming living beings. This is the literal translation. Sometimes it's rendered not to kill, but literally, abstention from harming living beings. Not only abstaining from killing, abstaining from harming in any way. In other words, it conveys abstention from all forms of violence, all forms of oppression, all forms of injury. And violence is wrong because it's based ultimately, in one way or another, directly or indirectly, on a state, a mental state, an unskillful mental state of hatred or anger or aggressiveness. And if we indulge in this expression, violence, then that unskillful mental state, hatred, will become stronger and more powerful than it already is. Now, the positive counterpart of abstention from violence is, of course, the practice of love, maitri, a friendliness. And here, maitri is not just an emotion, not just a feeling, as in the second stage of the path. Here, it's maitri as embodied in actual deeds, as put into operation and practice. It's not enough just to feel friendly. It's not enough just to feel goodwill towards others. You've got to express it. You've got to embody it in deeds. Otherwise, if you're just, as you were, gloating over in your own mind how much you love everybody and how kind you are, it becomes a sort of emotional self-indulgence, not to say something worse. And we should wash ourselves really and truly in this respect. We often consider that we love other people, at least we consider we love some other people. But if we examine ourselves, if we just think, if we just reflect, we find that we never really express it. It's sort of something we just take for granted. Let's be given an ordinary, rather familiar example. It's very much like the case of the married couple who've been married, say, for 20 or 30 or 40 years. And he never bothers to bring her a bunch of flowers or a box of chocolates. And suppose someone was to ask him, well, why is this? Don't you love your wife? You never take her a bunch of flowers on a Friday night or never give her a box of chocolates. So what would the average husband say? He'd say, well, what's the need? What's the necessity? Of course I love her, but she should know that after all these years. So there's no feeling to express that. It's something which is taken for granted. And this is obviously very bad psychology in our dealings with people. They shouldn't have to sort of take it for granted or just imagine that we do have a feeling towards them. It should be evident and obvious from our actions, our deeds, what we do and what we say. And we should take steps, use various means, to just keep alive these various expressions, which keep the friendliness and love alive also. And that's why in all social life, and especially in Buddhism, where these things are emphasized very, very much, there are things like exchanging presents, giving gifts on various occasions, exchanging invitations, and so on, to keep alive the spirit of friendliness. It's not enough to sit in your own room or your own cell even, just radiating thoughts of love. That's very good and very wonderful, but it's got to come down to some concrete expression, and it's only then that one will feel it in a very tangible way, reciprocated by other people. So therefore, according to this first sila and first principle, it isn't enough just to abstain from violence. It isn't enough just not to harm others. That's too negative. There must be this positive outward going attitude of expressing love for others. Love already developed in the second stage in terms of concrete physical action, doing things for them or expressing what you feel towards them. In this way, the whole spirit and light, we may say, of love is kept alive.